This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for joining us. We're about to have a great show. I've got some of my comrades in arms in studio today with me. As you all know, I'm a veteran of the Marine Corps, and so I always like to give love to the Marine Corps whenever I get a chance to have any Marines on the show. And today I'm honored to have a couple great guests on the show today. The president of Marine Corps University, Thomas Whiteley, General Thomas Wright, Brigadier General Thomas Whiteley, I should say. And I also have Brigadier General Tom Drowdy. He is the president of Marine Corps University Foundation. Today, we're going to be talking about the education of Marines. We're talking about the future in terms of training and educating Marines. And since we're leaving Afghanistan, leaving off a certain kind of Iraq and Afghanistan, the war footing, what are we going to be looking at in terms of, you know, what are Marines looking at? I mean, is it China? Is it Asia? Is it parts of Europe? We see things going on in Ukraine. Is it parts of Africa? We see a lot of stuff going on in Sudan and other areas like that. What are Marines preparing for? What are we looking at in terms of strategic conflicts and the education that goes into making Marines the best warriors? And also, the Marines are out there being diplomats. So what are we doing with terms of Marine Corps education? We'll be talking about that today. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Derek.
You know, first question, talk to us about Marine Corps University. I mean, a lot of times people hear about all the other places like West Point, the Army War College and other things like that. What's Marine Corps University, General?
Well, thank you for that question. Marine Corps University is the element that was established within the Marine Corps in order to provide professional military education for our warriors, whether those are officers or enlisted Marines or our civilian Marines, for that matter. We're chartered with providing them educational opportunities, both resident, non-resident, usually utilizing technology in our distance program, so that throughout the globe, no matter where they have access to education appropriate for rank and grade. This allows all our warriors to be intellectually agile, if you will, as we move forward. And you talked about coming out of 10 to 12 years of combat operations. We refocus on the future. We're prepared to respond to crisis. That's why we're positioning the Marine Corps for the future. In order to respond to crises, it's not a defined script. It's have to be able to employ and deploy on a moment's notice, parachute into a location in terms of a type of a scenario, and be able to adapt, understand the environment, and be able to come up with a plan to accomplish a mission. That requires forces with agile minds, forces that understand our history, understand how to think critically, and be able to adapt. And that's what we're chartered with doing at Marine Corps University, is generating those intellectual warriors that will help us survive and sustain on the next battlefield.
You know, and when people think about kind of educating Marines, we all know about the grueling dynamics of boot camp. And for officers, they go to, you know, the OCS and they go to the basic school. When we look at that, and people don't necessarily think about a kind of the university mindset, and we talk about educating the intellect. So are students at Marine Corps University, are they getting degrees? Is it continuing education? I mean, what, you know, when you go, if you are is it for enlisted and officers? I mean, who's the audience there, and what do they receive once they get out, and what is it broken up into?
Yeah, well, let's look at the officer side first. We view the educational continuum going from, you know, officer candidate school where they first enter the service all the way up through the general officer ranks. There's educational opportunities and, frankly, educational requirements at every rank as you proceed along that track. There's resident programs that bring officers starting at the company grade ranks into resident PME for a year. And we invest a year of education and training and leadership and war fighting that allows them to prepare for their follow-on assignments and to be in leadership positions. When they become a field grade officer, again, there's another resident opportunity as well as, and each one of these resident opportunities has a non-resident program as well. But once you hit the major and lieutenant colonel ranks, again, there's resident opportunities as well as non-resident opportunities. And the resident opportunities do afford you the ability to get a master's degree through the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools. We have an accredited program that gets them a master's in strategic studies. So they do have that option to participate in that that master's degree program at those ranks. On the enlisted side, there is educational opportunities at every rank, Lance Corporal all the way up through Sergeant Major. So at each one of those particular ranks, there is or there will be shortly a non-resident piece that they will have to do, an online educational requirement, and then follow that by a resident program that allows them to, again, to do a small group, Socratic-type educational opportunities that will go on for them and help develop them as ethical warriors, ethical leaders, so that then, again, at each rank, they are armed with that information to help them succeed at that rank and then continue to move forward in their Marine Corps careers. So,
you know, I was looking. I'm looking on the website right now. And if anybody who's interested, you can find the website at mcu.usmc.mil, a long website. But if you just type in Marine Corps University in Google, it'll come up. But, you know, there's a lot of different programs, what we call PME programs, these professional military education programs. And I was just, looking at a couple of them. And General, if you don't mind even breaking some of these down in terms of, because it seems like it's a wide variety of different things you got. The Marine Corps War College, I mean, and as you look at that, what is that for?
Yeah, the Marine Corps War College is for our 05 level, so our lieutenant colonel level, and some colonel selects will end up going to the War College as well. It's on par with all the services have War Colleges. It's a one-year in-resident program that, again, provides that lieutenant colonel now as you've progressed along with really armed with intellect in the, where the nexus between strategy and policy exists. Mm-hmm. So now we're preparing them to enter, joint staffs, combatant commander staffs, upper level staffs within the Marine Corps and have those skills necessary to think at the strategic level and at the operational level, not necessarily all down at the tactical level of, moving, fire teams and platoons around the battle space. Now they're thinking more broadly as a leader at that particular grade.
And then as you look, and then we go into the School of Advanced Warfighting, kind of SAW program. What is that?
The School of Advanced Warfighting is advanced PME for majors, if you will, so the 04 rank. Officers will have completed command and staff program. Again, each service has a command and staff college, so they will have had to have completed that program. And then there's a highly selective process that they go through, interview process to be selected for the School of Advanced Warfighting. What the School of Advanced Warfighting is, it's a one-year rigorous program that provides professional planners to the operating forces and to our combatant commanders. These are experts and planners. They get 1 year indoctrinated in not only Marine Corps planning process, but our joint planning process and also NATO planning processes, those types of things. So these are expert planners that can tackle any problem, and we use them to put against our most challenging problems that are out there.
I've heard stories about those who come out of SAW that they're some of the most sought after individuals when they get out of this program, because they become, like you said, an expert planner on an operational side where they can go into any environment and they can really kind of plan out whether it be missions or other things like that. Is that still kind of the case?
That's correct. That's 100% correct. One of our most highly sought after skills as that that SAW graduate.
When you look for somebody, I mean, it sounds as if it's a program that you're looking for a special kind of person, you know, and like you said, the criteria to get into that program is maybe a little bit rigorous. What kind of person are you looking for out of the Marine Corps to become a SAW candidate?
Yeah, we're looking for folks that have credibility within their MOS, that have the ability to think logically and soundly, that they've retained those skills that were provided to them at command and staff college. These are folks that can write well, that can that understand how to form teams, because net planning is never done as an individual. But these are folks that can leverage the team in order to get them moving in a particular direction. So there's oral and written interview requirements, as well as, again, their credibility within their own occupational field.
No question. I'm going to hold you right there, General. Sure. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about Marine Corps University and Marine Corps University Foundation, the arm of the Marine Corps University that supports in a unique way the Marine Corps University. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. We're getting an understanding about education and training for Marines as we go into the future. And we're talking to Brigadier General Thomas Wiley. He's the new president of Marine Corps University, just came aboard. Within the past, what time? Within the past
7 months.
7 months. He just came aboard, so you're still under the new fire right there. And then we're also talking to Brigadier General Thomas Drowdy. He is the president of Marine Corps University Foundation. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're talking about Marine Corps University today. And I have to say, simplify to all my Marines out there. And then I have some Marines in the studio today, so I'm honored to have them. And we're talking about Marine Corps University. We're talking about the education and training of Marines for the future, for planning for the future, planning for strategy, planning to not only win wars, but planning also to win during peacetime, which we're going into right now. And so we're going to talk about what's going on. If you just joined us, we had a real good conversation about certain parts of Marine Corps University. So you definitely have to go back and listen to that segment. But we're going to keep on talking about other components of Marine Corps University. I have in the studio with me Brigadier Thomas Wiley. He is the new president of Marine Corps University. So welcome aboard with that. And then Brigadier General Thomas Drowdy. He is the president of Marine Corps University Foundation. And they're both, that's the arm of the Marine Corps University that supports them in a special way. And we'll be talking about that special relationship in a few minutes. General Wiley, when we look at, talked about SAW and this special program, Command and Staff College in terms of the Marine Corps University, what's that about?
The Command and Staff College program allows us to bring in field grade officers. So these are majors at the O4 rank. And it does exactly what the title is. It's about command and staff. So there's pillars of that program that's related to leadership development, ethical leadership development, critical thinking, decision making, and then the Marine Corps planning process and how to interact at the staff environment. Again, you're getting in young majors here. They're just coming out of battalions and squadrons throughout the Marine Corps. They perhaps have never served on a outside of a squadron or battalion type formation. So this allows them, provides them the skills to go and serve at the junior field grade officer ranks on staffs throughout the globe, whether that be at a combatant commander staff or whether that be on a Marine Corps staff or an Marine Corps operating force staff.
As we look at Expeditionary Warfare School, EWS, what's that? I mean, I know we talk about the expeditionary nature of the Marine Corps, and everybody who's a Marine always knows about that expeditionary side, that amphibious side. Mm-hmm. What is that right there?
Yeah, the Expeditionary Warfare School was our company grade program, professional military education program. And this, again, focuses on taking those captains. After serving their first tour in the operating forces, they come in and they're essentially indoctrinated into basic expeditionary fundamentals, basic amphibious fundamentals. They're taught everything from how amphibious landings are conducted, how amphibious landings are planned, how expeditionary operations are conducted, gets them back into our doctrinal foundations so that they're solidified their experiences with our doctrine so that when they go forward after that particular tour, most of those company grade officers are going right back to the operating forces and back into billets, company commander billets, those types of things. So there's some strong threads of leadership in that program, and more importantly, on the foundations of our expeditionary character that allow them to, serving those billets out there, taking increased responsibilities and being able to understand who we are as Marine Corps warriors and leaders, frankly, is who we're making out of that course that can go out and operate in the forces.
Sure, yeah. Sure. You know, I came out of the grunts in the Marine Corps. I was in the 03 side, 0311, out of the infantry. And you know, as I think about this in terms of expeditionary warfare and the dynamics, we used to always do the amphibious landings and plan for those things and all the other kind of natures when we go out to San Diego and other places. But as we think about this, are these schools a combination of your threes, your aviators, your combat, your infantry, your logistics? I mean, is it bringing everybody together to understand that, or is it only bringing people from the combat side? You know, is it bringing your administrative officers in to learn this stuff, or what's the breakup of officers and where their career is going?
In all of our professional military educational venues, they're all MAGTAF officers. So in other words, they're selected from every element.
And when you say MAGTAF, for those who
the Marine Air Ground Task Force.
Yeah, sure.
It's how we operationally employ scalable, tailorable formations that are able to respond to a particular mission. So we have everybody from financial planners to administrative officers to logisticians to aviators, fixed-wing aviators, rotary-wing aviators, tilt-rotor aviators, grunts, Amtrakers, tankers, artillerymen, military police, so you name it across the board. That's who gets selected for these particular programs. And the way we combine them, we don't just do 250 captains in a auditorium and you have a lecturer up there. I mean, it's not what the majority of the course is about. The majority of the course is about Socratic learning, small group discussions. There's conference groups that are made up of every element of the Marine Air Ground Task Force, of the MAGTAF. So within a conference group, you'll do a lot of, most of your learning occurs in that type of forum, and you'll be able to sit across the conference table from a logistician, from an aviator, from an intel officer, and be able to gain that perspective as you tackle problems and you undergo exercises and you discuss particular readings and those types of things. So we rely heavily on in our professional military educational venues of learning from each other and having that experience and also forming those relationships, because as you move back out after school, you're inevitably going to run into somebody who was in your conference group, who was in your EWS class or your command and staff class somewhere out in the fleet, and you're going to be working together. You're going to link up on a ship, on a Marine Expeditionary Unit deployment or what have you, and the next thing you know, you're going to run into your buddy from your conference group, and it makes the ability to accomplish the mission that much more simpler by having known and formed those relationships and understanding, that guy or gal that's across the
sure.
The room from you.
You know, when people talk about education and training and the difference between the two, and then also just obtaining knowledge and being able to apply knowledge, when Marines come out of these programs, which they all seem to be very, very intense programs and not necessarily somebody just sitting in a classroom and just listening to somebody, but a very, participatory type a dynamic where you're getting out there and you're doing certain things. What have you seen? I mean, you have risen up through the ranks, and I'm sure you may have even come, through the Marine Corps University or, had those experiences. What have you seen as the result of this education? Have you seen that has made a significant difference in terms of bringing all these people together, and now that they're able to work together as a even a better team, and understanding finance and understanding logistics better, understanding administration better, and understanding the big picture better, or even the small picture? What have you seen?
Yeah, that's always a great question. Anecdotally, you can say yes. Everybody runs into those folks that they've met at those educational venues, and as you rise through the ranks, you can still look back on people that you served alongside with, and they continue to follow you, through your progression. As you're moving up, they're moving up, and there's always that alignment and that ability to leverage that what you have learned. I think you need only look at the Marine Corps' success on the battlefield, throughout history and throughout you know, the last 80, 90 years of fighting since we've really made education a priority. You know, a lot of those successes can be deemed, you know, directly back, you know, they have ties directly back to the education. And again, and that's how we, as we proceed into the future, again, is to provide our warriors that intellectual flexibility, that intellectual agility, coupled with the training. There's no doubt that training is a very critical piece of you know, our ability to respond. But having that agile mind, that ability to think critically about a problem, the ability to understand the culture, to understand the environment, to understand things from an economic perspective or from a physical perspective or from a logistics perspective as you go in and try to tackle the problem that you've been given. So there's no doubt that it makes an impact.
We're talking about Marine Corps University, and we're talking to Brigadier General Thomas Wiley. He is the new president of Marine Corps University, and we're going to also be talking about Marine Corps University Foundation after we get back off of this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we're having a really, really interesting conversation about Marines, and not just Marines in terms of war fighting, but Marines in terms of education and training so that they can plan to win wars, but also, as we're talking about today, winning during peacetime. A lot of times Marines are forward deployed. They're at the embassies. They're at joint commands all over the world, whether it be a European command or specific command or AFRICOM or other things like that. They're all over the world and doing certain things, and they're not only war fighters, but they're sometimes a diplomat that may be out there. Maybe we talk about the strategic corporal. Maybe that corporal out there is having that impact, or that officer is having an impact upon somebody overseas, and they're representing America in a number of different ways. But we're talking about educating and training them in order so they can represent the Marine Corps, the country, and our nation's interests the right way. We're talking about Marine Corps University, and we're also talking about the Marine Corps University Foundation that supports the Marine Corps University in a very, very unique way. And we have as our guest Brigadier General Thomas, we got two Thomases in here, Thomas Wiley. And then we have Brigadier General Thomas Drowdy. They're both with the Marine Corps University, Marine Corps University Foundation. General Wiley, in terms of you being a president, and we have a couple different components, this foreign military education component. I was talking about the diplomacy of the Marine Corps. What does this do in terms of the foreign military education?
Yeah, again, another great question, Derek. The Marine Corps has always been open and actively seeking participation in our PME opportunities from our international partners and regional partners. This is a force multiplier for the Marine Corps. These are folks from our partner countries that we're going to fight alongside, or we're going to operate alongside at some point in the future. So providing them an understanding of how the Marine Corps operates. And more importantly for us is to get an understanding of how our partner nations view the Marine Corps and view our position and policies and those types of things. It's very, very important for our student populations. We have currently 56 different foreign military students that are officer PME venues, and they are at each one, Expeditionary Warfare School, Command and Staff College, SAW, and then our Marine Corps War College. So,
and you know, some people, so we can educate people more. Some people will think, well, we're bringing foreign countries in, and are we educating them on U.S. military tactics? I mean, are these our allies? In terms of this program, what are some of the countries represented? And then what do they learn, and what do they go back with that we're going to now continue to maybe work on in the future in terms of relationship building?
Yeah, and again, another great adjunct question. Again, depending on what professional military education program they're attending, let's say Expeditionary Warfare School. We have two Japanese students attending Expeditionary Warfare School. What are they going to get out of it? You know, as the Japanese, you take a look at what's happening out in their particular region of the world. They're seeking opportunities to increase their ability to respond and to defend their country from external aggression. The amphibious sphere is something that they're very, very interested in. So those students undergoing training and education, at Expeditionary Warfare School are developing that broad understanding of how amphibious operations are conducted, how expeditionary operations are conducted, really down at the tactical level. So those officers will go back to the Japanese self-defense forces, and they will again be employed in those types of situations that help bring on those capabilities within their countries. There's been numerous instances over the past years about how students at Marine Corps professional military educational opportunities have gone on to become service chiefs within their respective countries, chiefs of defense, chiefs of their Navy, those types of things. So the educational experience is very valued in many of our partners' eyes, and that's the reason why they send them to Marine Corps educational venues.
You know, with all of that, and I had a chance to, you know, be in a briefing that you just gave, General, and I saw the wide variety of countries. Is the plan to continue to build on? I mean, we had a good representation in Europe, certain parts of Asia. I only saw one country in Africa. Are we going to continue to build those relationships up with strategic countries? Are we looking for new countries to kind of bring to the school as we continue to start, you know, working with other militaries and saying we don't want to have our footprint there as much, but we want to kind of say, you know what, there's a small Marine expeditionary force there, and we can work with whatever country to do certain things. Is that the plan?
That is. And you got to remember that there's an overarching plan, you know, in terms of the joint community. There's partnerships that they want to form. There's relationships that they want to develop. Nested inside their plan is the Marine Corps plan for developing regional partners and those types of things. And that translates down into those countries that participate in our educational experiences.
Yeah.
We are looking at expanding the number of foreign students. As you can imagine, there's quite a burden on those individual countries that participate to send an officer and his family to the United States in order to undergo, you know, a year's worth of education. So that we are looking at some of our other programs. We have a blended seminar program now that provides a short-term in-resident experience, then a distance education experience kind of in the middle, and then a resident experience kind of on the backside. And that is becoming increasingly popular amongst our international partners because it is a lower-cost solution. Okay. In order to get the same level of education. So we see expansion in that particular domain to allow us to get some more international partner participation.
You know, you talk about expansion. That's a good key word for me to kind of move to the next piece. The school is looking to expand. I mean, you got a construction project going on right now. What is the plan in terms of expansion of Marine Corps University, maybe the facilities and maybe programs? What's in the future?
Yeah. You know, General Gray had a vision back many years ago when he was commandant to have a world-class university organization here within the Marine Corps. And we're well on our way to getting there. One of the key components of that was to have world-class facilities, state-of-the-art and most recent technology educational venues to provide and deliver education to our warrior culture. And through the, you know, generosity of lots of different organizations and through the steadfast leadership of the Marine Corps in terms of providing resources, we are in the process of building on to the university campus that's located at Quantico, Virginia. We have several projects that are in work right now, including a major addition that will allow us to relocate Command and Staff College into a brand new facility, and also our School of Advanced Warfighting, bring them out of a trailer complex and into again, a state-of-the-art facility that allow them to continue to deliver the highest quality and caliber education. And there's also supporting apparatus around that, parking lots and some other building renovations and modifications that allow us, again, to provide small group discussions. You know, if you use a Socratic method, that requires you to have many more small conference groups instead of just large briefing halls. So those modifications are being made to our existing facilities. They're very well resourced by Marine Corps leadership, ensuring that they maintain their prioritization amongst all the other priorities within the Marine Corps. So we're on good footing.
You know, with this being a time in which we talk about budgets and talk about the constraints of budgets. And all the branches have downsized a little bit. The Marine Corps is kind of going back and what people may say are right-sizing, you know, from a time of combat where it was, I think we're at 220-something thousand or a little bit more Marines. Now I think 193,000 so Marines. And I don't know if that number is going to come down to 180-something thousand Marines or so. But in budget constraint times, is education still deemed a priority? And you know, and with this expansion, is that still a priority on the table?
Yeah, the projects that were, you know, that are well under the way right now, obviously they'll be carried through to fruition. They were, you know, essentially purchased with previous year's money, if you will. I mean, they were budgeted for many, many years ago and are just now being brought to fruition. So those are on good footing. There's several projects we have in the future that will continue to compete with the other priorities of the Marine Corps, and we'll continue to stay on message to try to continue to get these, bring these projects through to fruition. But again, under a sequestered budget, under, you know, constrained resources, some of those projects may have to be delayed a little bit. The Marine Corps, you know, at the peak of our, you know, combat operations in Iraq and simultaneously in Afghanistan, we were at 202,000 Marines. And we are moving down to a 175,000 Marine Corps. Training and education, you know, the Commandant views those things as critical pillars to our ability to respond to crises. We are, you know, under the physically constrained, sequestered budget levels. We will maintain our capacity to be America's force and readiness to be able to respond to crisis, and that's the way our force structure has been realigned. Key to that is the being able to have ready forces. In other words, you know, General Amos's quote of, you know, being able to fight today's force to today's crisis with what you have today is apropos, and he ensures that we are provided the funding and the resources to fund not only the educational piece but the training side to maintain those ready forces to be able to respond to today's crisis with today's force today. So that becomes our resourcing levels that allow us to continue to do. Are we going to take some degradation? Yes, we are. But we're still able to accomplish those objectives that I've discussed over the last several minutes with you.
I'm going to take a quick break. When we talk about the degradation in the budget, this kind of goes right into the foundation. And when we come back on after this break, we're going to be talking about the Marine Corps University Foundation. And the purpose of that foundation is to deal with some of that dynamics with some of the budget constraints have caused, you know, maybe a lack of funding where the Marine Corps University Foundation can maybe step in and help the Marine Corps University continue with becoming a world-class university. We're talking to Brigadier General Thomas Wiley. He is the president of Marine Corps University, and he is the new president. So welcome aboard, and it seems like he's doing a good job already. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Brigadier General Thomas Drowdy. He is the president of Marine Corps University Foundation. We'll be talking about both of these things as we continue on Fed Access. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about Marines and their education, Marine and in terms of strategically educating them for war and in peacetime. We're talking about Marine Corps University. And if you Google it, you can just type in Marine Corps University in any search engine. It'll come on up. But we're going to also talk about the Marine Corps University Foundation. And right before the break, we were talking about these budget times, a sequester, budget constraints. And this is what the Marine Corps University Foundation was started for, was to help deal with some of this and provide some additional room in which the Marine Corps University can get some funding and to do academic chairs and everything else. We've been talking to Brigadier General Thomas Wiley. He is the new president of Marine Corps University. And then we're talking to Brigadier General Thomas Drowdy. He is the president of Marine Corps University Foundation. Sir, tell us about McCuff, sir, as we describe it.
Sure, Derek. Thank you. And let me start by thanking you for the opportunity to chat again. Also for your service in the Marine Corps.
Thank you, sir.
And to be one of my comrades from Desert Storm.
Yes, sir.
We at the foundation see ourselves as the development arm of the Marine Corps University, and anyone who's gone to a college or university understands the development folks. They track you down wherever you may live and try to get your support for your alma mater. So we're the support for the Marine Corps University. what I view ourselves, our mission is very simple, provide the resources to enhance and enrich professional military education and leadership. And it's not just at the Marine Corps University, but also the operating forces and supporting establishment. But you talked about budgets and the challenges there. If you could visualize one line that is the budget, and then a line above that of what is required to really have top-notch professional military educational leadership. And the difference between those two lines we call the margin of excellence. And the margin of excellence is what the foundation attempts to fill. The challenge that we have, and you've hit it squarely on the head, is that as that bottom line of the budget goes down, that margin of excellence expands, and therefore the greater need for someone like the foundation to assist the university in doing the great things that they do and that have been explained by General Whiteley. It's a wonderful opportunity to be a part of all of this and to participate in teaching an elective, but also to see the tremendous benefit that the university provides, not just to the Marine Corps, but to all services and the international community as well. It's truly eye-watering, and we're just delighted and proud to be a part of it.
You know, some people will ask a unique question, and both of you can even chime in on this. Some people will say, well, listen, you know, this is federal. These are federal dollars. You know, this is the military. Why does a military university, so to say, need a development arm? Why can't the Congress just give more money? I mean, we all know the answer, but if somebody's out there listening and trying to understand, why would the Marine Corps University need a development arm?
Same reason any college, university, state-funded, privately funded, whatever, the tuition does not cover it all. The state fund does not cover it all. So they have a development arm to do the same things in their own way that we do, and that is to make up that difference between what is needed and what is received. And in the case of the Marine Corps University, what is received, that budget is going down, and therefore creating a greater gap and what we call the margin of excellence between what is receiving or going to receive and what is needed to continue to produce top-notch graduates. And we focus on the education, and the definition I use is training is preparation for certainty, education is preparation for uncertainty. And more, that's what our youngsters, they're all youngsters to me, being as old as I am, but more and more what our youngsters are facing today and what they'll face in the war of tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. And so we feel it's our obligation, moral and spiritual, if you will, to help in that regard, to help them be the best prepared individual that we can provide so that they will come back alive and bring back alive those that are privileged to lead.
So with this, General Jotti, anybody can donate to, in terms of development arm, anybody who's out there, a regular citizen or anybody else, can donate to the Marine Corps University Foundation, and it will support Marine Corps education in terms of saying when the budget constraints are there, you will continue to say, listen, we can support either academic chairs, or we can support certain programming. Is that the case, sir?
Absolutely. And if they go to McCuff.org, they'll see the opportunities there. And again, not only the university, but also the operating forces and supporting establishments. So those units that are out there overseas or preparing to go overseas who need battlefield studies or a visiting scholar, anything to prepare them better for the challenges they're going to face, we're the ones that they come to in order to get those funds.
You know, General Whiteley, in terms as you're looking at, you know, budgets and everything else, is McCuff providing that gap for you? I mean, in terms of what you need to do?
Absolutely, they are. I mean, they, General Drowdy hit it again, as you did, right on the head. That's a capability that allows us to continue to provide a level of excellence at the university that, you know, our normal resourcing levels perhaps don't allow us to do. Things like different chairs allow us, again, an opportunity.
And we talk about these academic chairs. Yeah, what are some of the chairs?
Academic chairs. We have a Horner chair. We have several other chairs. These are experts from their individual fields that come in, and they provide leadership, mentoring, and guidance to our students. They help them write master's theses, those types of opportunities.
And from what I saw is teaching about terrorism and cyber war and information operations and things like that.
Exactly, yes. CIA chair. We have all kinds of different chairs at the university. And McCuff funds a majority of those.
You know, with all of that, we only have maybe about a few seconds left, General Dryden. I want maybe you to kind of end on a last note. As we look at the future and you know, with Marine Corps education, we look at kind of funding levels, what do we kind of see that we need to continue to go with Marine Corps education, sir?
Well, it's a continuing one that in times of austerity, when there's going to be fewer dollars, fewer forces, et cetera, this is the time to really focus on education so that we truly have, as the 82nd Congress mandated, when the nation is least ready, it has a force that is most ready, and that's the Marine Corps, and that's with educated Marines who are ready to take whatever is necessary anywhere in order to succeed.
Thank you, sir. I know I was trying to push you guys at the end because we only ran out of time, but I wanted to make sure we got a couple key points. If you want to donate to the Marine Corps University Foundation, you can find them at McCuff.org, which is M-C-U-F.org. And if you want to find out more about Marine Corps University, just Google them. I don't want to give out this long website, but Marine Corps University, you can find both of them on Google, Marine Corps University or Marine Corps University Foundation. You can support the Marine Corps University by supporting McCuff. They always need additional donations, additional dollars, as we're going into this budget scenario where budgets are uncertain right now, and we need additional funding in order to support Marines who are out there in the operation theater and out there doing joint staff and everything else. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming on Fed Access. We're gonna have to. I knew we got to bring you guys back to continue this conversation, but thank you so much.
Thank you, Derek.